Inside the Bearcats podcast. I'm Paul Daner Jr., and I'm here to take you behind the curtain of UC Athletics, where we'll discuss all the topics that UC you care about, and quite a few that you really don't care about. All right, let's go.
8 seconds to go. SK dribbles into the front court. Kilpatrick pulls up from three. His shot, good! 2.5 to go! Kilpatrick buries one. Green out to Abernathy, looking for a block. He's got it. Down to the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Bearcats!
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the Inside the Bearcats podcast. I, of course, am Paul Daner Jr. here with you. And because I can't go a couple of weeks without seeing Tommy G, Tommy, thank you.
Couple of weeks. We can't go a couple of days without seeing each other.
This is true.
It hasn't even been 24 hours.
It has.
I bid you adieu last night, maybe about 11 p.m.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Here we are 15 hours later doing it again. But you know what? That means there's lots to talk about.
There is lots to talk about.
It also means that ratings must be sky high when you have me on because you continue to ask me back. Or
I can't find anybody
else.
I'm
not even going the other way.
I don't think I can find
it. No, that's not it. Rating sky high.
It's the rating sky high. The ratings are sky high. I think after the artwork that came of our last podcast, really, that's when everybody said, we've got to have this more often. It's really – I hope it's not becoming more popular than the actual podcast, the artwork
the
is, because we can't be giving Video Shane too much credit over here.
And the problem is if you set the bar too high,
yeah,
then it's going to be no longer Video Shane, it's going to be Photoshop Shane during every podcast.
Yeah, in case you haven't seen it yet, go back to a podcast from 2 weeks ago, and first, you should listen to that podcast. It was rather genius, and but the video, the artwork was fantastic. Funny, quick story about that. One of my friends was telling somebody that was interested in sports journalism, one of my friends has a sports blog and does a lot of stuff like that. Let me show you so you can get a look at some of the stuff he does. What was the first thing that was there when she was trying to show this guy how to be a professional?
Coming out of the car.
The picture of my head coming out of a car, Fred Savage, a 1992 Ford Pro, and Justin Jackson mean face. So clearly at that point she said, well, maybe we can find somebody
professionalism else. Professionalism at its finest.
Yeah, it really was. But hey, that's what we're about, entertainment and sports here.
If you're not having fun, then you might as well pack it up and go home.
You might as well move to do news, okay? All right, this is why we're in sports. We're in the toy division for a reason. There's a reason we do this, staring at 80 bobbleheads, okay?
Minimum,
absolutely. But so it's an interesting time around here, and there's only one place that we can really start. No, I don't think it's the 18-point win over Villanova. We have to start with the Harlem Shake.
Oh, yeah.
Which is taking over.
Harlem Shake's really the most important part of both our worlds at this point.
It trumps a lot of things. In case you are not aware of what the Harlem Shake is, it's just caught fire in about a 48-hour period, I feel like.
Yeah, that's about right.
Certainly this week, where it's a video. The video concept is, it's about 15 seconds of this song, which builds up, and typically one person will be dancing. And then at about the halfway point, the song sort of explodes, and insanity happens in this video with people dancing everywhere. I will post a few Harlem Shakes on the blog. So
and it's easy to find. All you do is go to YouTube, type in Harlem Shake, and the next 10 to 15 minutes of your life, at minimum, will be consumed.
Unbelievable how irresistible it is to watch these videos.
They're incredible, and they're only 30 seconds long, so if it's not great, it's over quickly.
And everyone makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Every single one. I don't know, and I don't know why. I just love absurdity, maybe, but these things are incredible. We have been in a rough draft of discussions here. Mm-hmm. The possibility of a UC Harlem Shake video, which they're so easy to make. To make even a minute, to make a great one, would take some time and some planning. But I think that we have a lot of possibilities with all the absurdity that occurs around these buildings.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot of possibilities for
it's not even a possibility. It's a reality.
It's a reality.
It just hasn't happened as of yet. Hasn't been posted. But I'd say before March, minimum of two versions of the Harlem Shake produced by Video Shane and yours truly will be available on YouTube and the World Wide Web.
Have there been any rumblings from players, teams, coaches? That any thoughts if they come
not,
to you?
Not you know
just,
I haven't
are
really
we
talked
alone
to coaches about it yet. I've had some communication via Twitter with students and mascot and others that are interested. And band is interested in being partaking in it, which is great. I think the Bearcat needs to be involved.
Absolutely.
I think Skippy needs to be involved. UC Skippy on Twitter. If you don't follow him, you probably should be. But
you really should be.
He had more followers than you and I combined, I think. So, that's great. But, he needs to be involved for sure. I think he has a Spider-Man suit that he wears at Bengals games or something. So,
oh, wow.
That needs to be in there. I mean, there's some pretty unique ones. There's some average ones that have like 500,000 hits.
Yeah.
So
you just got to get caught up in the right funnel, and
I think there'll be one here in the new media suite for sure.
There has to be. You have too many great things.
I'd like to do one at Fifth Third Arena.
I think in game is hard to do, but certainly if you did it pregame.
Yeah, I think a pregame.
A pregame in the student section would be fantastic.
I agree. You know who's really embraced it is Georgia. They have a great and I actually called. I know their guy who heads up their whole video department down there. I called him today. After I saw they actually produced one, their group, and I had already seen the swimming one that came out of Georgia, and I called them and they actually didn't produce it. The swimmers put it together themselves underwater, and if you watch carefully, it took me like three watches to figure out the guy over towards the left of the screen is in a sleeping bag underwater.
Yeah, you really should not relay. So that our bosses can't hear how easy it apparently is to make videos that just a swimming team can just pull off something like that.
Yeah, right.
Because it really—that's a hit to our job security.
Yeah, it has like a million views, and the swimmers might have my job next week. So good luck with them on the podcast. But,
okay, real quick, let's run down the top things, top four or five things that you must have in a great Harlem Shake video. Let's run through it. I think I got to start. You got to start with a mascot of some sort.
Well,
every good one has at least.
Your costumes is essential, but the helmet is number one.
Yeah.
The helmet of some sorts. Now, it seems like the popular thing is to wear the motorcycle helmet at the beginning because the video begins with one person dancing solo. There are others in there, but one person has a helmet on. And I think Stormtrooper helmets have been popular. Mm-hmm. I think I saw a Darth Vader helmet in one. I think it could be a football helmet, seeing that we have a plethora of them here at the University of Cincinnati. I think there's a lot of options, but... But the dancer who starts it solo has to have a helmet on.
Has to have a helmet on. When craziness breaks out, somebody must ride across the screen in something.
Right. Bicycle, unicycle.
Mobile unit.
I think it would be good if we had a twirler in the background from the UC band. We might be able to arrange something along those lines.
Tubas. At least two tubas.
A couple tubas.
For sure.
But you're right. Somebody has to ride through. There has to be somebody who is awkwardly standing and not going wild.
Yes.
But within, pretty decent range, like towards the front. Like there was one I watched, and there was a girl dead center towards the front of chaos just gingerly petting a bunny. just gingerly petting a bunny.
As if there's any other way
looking off into space.
As if there's any other way to pet a bunny.
Well, yeah.
Don't aggressively pet bunnies.
No,
we can't.
No, no.
We can't bunnies endorse
are
that.
Soft and cute, but there has to be some. It would be great if there could be an animal of some sort.
Sure.
Maybe
Lucy the bear cat.
We could talk to the zoo.
So many possibilities.
See what we could do there. That's a necessity. And I mean, we said costumes. That's important.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, I think. There has to be at least, for some reason, there has to be at least one shirtless man dancing.
At least.
And
if
many,
not multiple.
And many don't have pants for some reason, which I find concerning. But,
it's a fine line.
Yeah,
but...
the right pair of mesh shorts.
Right.
Maybe some of the old basketball shorts from the 80s,
Yeah.
I think that would be maybe a possibility.
That would be okay.
But that has to happen. Just insanity.
Shirtless man.
In case you haven't seen it, like I said, go Harlem Shake.
So easy to find.
We'll throw a few of our favorites on the blog, though. So go ahead and check that out. And thank you for 8 minutes.
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
You're not. You want more? I thought we could move on.
Well, we can in like 30 seconds. I just want to wrap up the Georgia side of things because when I talked to my guy today, they did one at a basketball game, and they actually did multiple camera angles. See, I like the one camera angle.
I do too.
The super wide one camera. Georgia did multiple camera angles, and one of their cameras. Was in their brand new control room. Like they could control all their video boards in Georgia from one room.
Right.
And it's, we're talking millions of dollars of equipment in there.
Sure.
And one of the camera angles was chaos, and they were like monitors knocked over and paper being thrown over. So my first question when I called my buddy today was, "You was like that green screened, or like did you genuinely yes. allow them to do the Harlem Shake in your brand new control room?" And he said, "Well, my guys are smart." He goes, "They did it and didn't tell me about it and cleaned up and then called me to show it to me." He goes, "So by the time I walked in there, I didn't know what had happened, and it looked normal. So I couldn't really yell at people." So
that's like when you mess up growing up and you call your mom and say, "To start, everything's okay."
Right. Nobody's
And then
hurt.
You go from there. That's all right. That's all you need. That's all you need. Well,
so, chaos will ensue.
So look for that for all of you people that just can't get enough of the Harlem Shake or just can't get enough of all the videos that Tommy G cranks right. out here at GoBearCats.com, Bearcats TV on YouTube. Have we plugged most of it yet?
Yeah,
hashtag,
pretty much.
/ all access.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, but whatever works.
Plenty of that. Of course, there's plenty of videos up from last night's UC victory. They snap a two-game losing streak. Take down Villanova 68-50. Largest margin of victory since Maryland Eastern Shore. Really as impressive as they've played in a long time. 12 of 25 from three-point range. 21-7 advantage in turnovers. And this where I want to start here is – The way they played was different. Mick talks a lot about deflections. They had 46 of them last night, which is a ridiculously high number. They had Kazmir Wright setting the highest he can remember at one single player having with 14. This is from a guy with a bad knee and a bad shoulder and a number of things. These are banged up Bearcats right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a lot of guys fighting injuries and being tougher than probably anybody really knows about, and to come out and have that type of diving on the floor, just in people's faces, going the full 40 minutes, more so than we had seen of this team in weeks, I think is worth more in the grand scheme of things when you think about how hurt some of these guys are. Justin Jackson was banged up. He didn't practice the day before. There was a lot of thoughts that he wouldn't even play in that game.
Right.
Jaquan Parker has turned an ankle in about, it seems like, four straight right. games. Kazmir Wright's injuries are well documented. Sean Kilpatrick had to pop a finger out of his socket or into place two games ago, right, and played the second half with that. It seems like everybody's got something. And
right.
a play like that I think is a testament to these guys.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question that those guys – you know, they've been out there battling, and their defense has been great. And it's funny because I had a couple of fans walk by me at halftime. They're like, "Kazmir's just not playing well. He's not himself. He's not playing because he didn't have 15 points." And yeah. I'm like, take a deep breath, everybody. You know, like, hold on.
Yeah.
Guy had 14 deflections.
Yeah.
He was out there playing defense. He had a couple of steals early, as you noted on Twitter, to mm-hmm. keep track of the goal of being the all-time steals leader and moving up that list. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I had a kind of a sense and, you know, couldn't say anything publicly. And, you know, Mick acknowledged it last night that when Cash hurt his shoulder against Oregon out of Vegas, I was at that game.
Yep.
And I think I was the only announcer at the time who figured out that Kazmir was hurt and in the locker room. That's neither here nor there. But, you know, I think it was probably worse then that he probably let anybody know. And he kept battling. And was it Providence or Seton Hall when he got that hit at midcourt?
Right. I can't remember the one.
No, I didn't watch a minute of Providence because I was at the Sunday dinner. So it wasn't Providence. Yeah. It was Seton Hall.
Yeah.
He got, like, basically body checked out of bounds. And I think they called it a ball off of Kazmir's hands. Well, yeah, which it was.
Right.
Except that he was body checked to go out of bounds. He got up and he grabbed that same shoulder. And I instantly thought back and, you know, didn't slow him down. And Cash has been battling through those things, but he's a warrior. He's going to. Jaquan's not coming out. Jaquan's going to keep on battling. So you know what? These guys are going. They're going to get through it. They got a great training staff to help them through it. And you know, they played awesome defense last night. What happened when they played awesome defense? Shots started to fall, and they got 12 three-pointers and back in the win column.
Yeah, and you know, much of the talk about trying to, you know, fix the offense, which had those two games in particular that were just real struggles to find points. You know, Mick would constantly talk about defense being the answer, and you know, he doesn't monitor the Twitters like we do. We see it all. That was met with some resistance, I guess you would say, from people saying, "No, it's this, that, or the other. It's the offense. They got to shoot. They got to do this." This team creating offense from their defense has been the formula for a couple of years now. The last 2 years, when they've played their best, that has been the difference. That type of effort and the types of turnovers they were getting last night was the way this team played at the end of the season last year. And it really reminded me of it. The game that popped into my head, and I don't know about you, was 2 years ago, the first time we saw this type of – the way this type of defense can take this team to big wins. Louisville here, a game where UC had been reeling. Their backs were against the walls. Everybody was counting them out to make the tournament. People were talking about jobs on the line. This, and they came out and beat a great Louisville team and just out-hustled them in every way, shape, and form for, I believe it was 63-54. Sad I remember that. But that type of a win, that it was really a game-changer in that season.
Right.
And in my opinion, turning point in the program under Mick, where they that from that point forward, it was just rolling. They had found an identity. This reminded me of that, of kind of refinding that again last night. Who knows? It may be a one-game thing. I mean, in this league, 1 week to the other, no team knows more
right.
than you
oh,
see.
Yeah.
It can change. But, you know, it really reminded me of that, of sort of finding that thing. And it's one of those things that really can change a season, you think.
Oh, yeah. No, these guys, you can't challenge their effort. They're well coached. I mean, Twitter coaches are amazing. I mean,
everybody's got an answer.
You're on Twitter coaching, and he's getting paid $1 million or whatever his salary is across the way to be in the gym. Until somebody offers you $1 million a year to coach a Division I basketball team, I mean, I love everybody's input on Twitter, but man, sometimes the Twitter coaching is a little bit over the top. Like, you know, Mick hasn't won 200 games by accident.
Yeah.
You got to believe in what he's selling, and what he's selling is working. His team is 19-6, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Is that while they have some of these injuries that might slow them down and may not be clicking at 100%, they're going to make up for it in their effort, and you hope that it's the type of game that absolutely propels the team and a program forward, and you know, obviously they're going to have another great opportunity to build upon it with Georgetown coming in on Friday night, which should be a raucous atmosphere over at Fifth Third Arena.
I think it should be the most anticipated game at home this whole season.
Yeah, for sure.
9 o'clock ESPN on a Friday night. You own the stage.
Uh-huh. That's an NBA stage.
Yeah, that's not a big college night. Almost everybody playing on Saturday in a huge game for UC.
Right.
A chance to get one more big quality win, and really throw yourself right back into the mix of that double bye picture if you get a win, because
absolutely.
Georgetown currently in there. I mean, with all the freak out that was occurring over this two-game losing streak, which is just funny to even say a sentence like that. It's a two-game losing streak in the Big East. But with all of that was happening, you know, I was quick to point out, okay, UC sitting at 6-5 at that point was only one game in the loss column out of fourth place. I mean, out of the double bye, right where they were last year, and you know, and it was all in front of them. Now, granted, the schedule is brutal over the next few weeks, but it's not like they're sitting there where USF or DePaul or any of these other teams are. They're right there.
Yeah.
It's a few wins away from being in the top five in the league and right. where you want to be.
11-7 could still get you that fourth seed very well.
Absolutely. With the right wins, with the right tiebreakers and wins, for sure.
And a Georgetown win gives you that tiebreaker on Friday. You already have a tiebreaker over Marquette. You know, Syracuse you do not have a tiebreaker against. But
I think,
you know,
Houston, Louisville, I think will be 1-2 when all is said and done.
And you have an opportunity against Louisville coming up.
Yeah.
Pitt you split with.
Louisville's got four losses in conference. I mean, I think that they will rise to the top, but they are in no way – I mean, they're right out there. Only, you know, they have one fewer loss than UC does.
Right. And if you and you want to see – if you're the Bearcats, you want to see Marquette continue to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember that there's situations in some tiebreakers where to go to the highest ranked team in the conference that you beat. So a situation like if the Bearcats were to tie Pitt for that fourth seed, now they split the season series, so that doesn't help any. So now you start looking at it, well, who did you beat going? Did you beat the first team? No. Did you beat the second team? Whoa, the Bearcats beat Marquette and Pittsburgh didn't, which I'm not 100% confident on at this point.
Marquette beat Pitt because they played early.
Right. Yeah. So – in that scenario, then the Bearcats get a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, so that those things are going to play out. But right now, you just got to win. You can't. It's so far away. You just got to win games.
Yeah.
And worry how it shakes out the first week of March.
But, yeah, and speaking, when you talk about March, a win against George, a Georgetown team that is just playing lights out right now.
Right.
I mean, they are I think they're playing as good as anybody in the conference at this point in time. They've really found some things. Otto Porter is just a beast. He's almost impossible to defend because he does so many different things well. You know, UC will need to be using every defensive weapon on him. If you can find a way to slow him down, you can stop Georgetown. But Georgetown's defense is so tough. That's another. I mean, it's
going to be another 53-52 game.
Oh, absolutely. I would be shocked if either team cracks 60.
Yeah.
With the way that these two teams play defense, I fully expect another grinder. But that will be a huge game here. And you know, you mentioned Cashmere Wright going up the steals. Chance, he's now tied with David Puffy Kennedy with 189 steals for the all-time career steals record, which I think is an awesome accomplishment.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
I mean, and that really, it's one of those stats, and it really is perfect that he will own this, knock on wood, because he's the type of – that's really defined him, is that sort of just defense, just relentlessness, and just going after the basketball at all times. And it's great that he has a chance to do this. Hopefully he does it on a national stage, ESPN, Georgetown, at home.
Yep.
It really is the perfect scenario for him to try and break it. Of course, my mission continues. I have ever since
– got to find Puffy.
I got to find Puffy because interesting things are developing as I continue to try and track down Puffy, which you knew it's one of these nuggets that you hear and it goes away after you do the game. DJ Kennedy, who played at St. John's, is Puffy's son.
Right.
And now Puffy played here from 77 to 81, a great player in UC history. Son goes to St. John's. So I'm trying to track down. I want to talk to Puffy about why, what his feelings on the, if he knew he had the record, if he tracks Cashmere Wright at all. He probably watched him play some if he was watching DJ play, I'm sure. It's hard to find a guy like this over a couple of days. But you're working on some people for me. I'm working on some people. So this, to all our thousands upon thousands of listeners.
Maybe he's listening right now.
Maybe he probably is. I assume he listens to the Inside
the
Bearcats.
Downloads it on his iPod.
I'm sure he does. We want to talk to you, Puffy. So,
he's the original Puffy.
He is the he's way before anybody, way before P. Diddy Combs.
Huh.
He's out there. So if you know him, shoot me a phone number so I can try to talk to him. Maybe we could get him here at the game. You know, sitting courtside. So you get the shot of him as the record gets broken.
Call the ESPN producers. Pass that one along.
They're probably listening too. I'd assume.
Oh,
for their research.
Absolutely.
Cashmere Wright, we talked a lot about him.
Bob Knight's tuning in. He's calling the game on Friday.
Oh, sure.
Probably on the drive-in.
Well, yeah, he's definitely hip with the podcast, and he certainly wants to get our basketball analysis.
Absolutely. Oh, there's no question.
I will say Cashmere Wright has been one of my favorite Bearcats of all time, and that's a fun list to play with, some of your favorite Bearcats. Now, I'm going to exclude all current players. Run down for me some of your any basketball, football. Run down for me some
of your
favorite.
Remember, I've been here for 7 years, and I didn't live in Cincinnati before that.
So give me non-playing. That's fine. The ones you know
from my tenure.
From your tenure, yeah, for sure.
From my tenure.
From your tenure. That aren't here right now.
That aren't here right
are
now.
Are not current Bearcats. Who are? I know you're a big CB. I know
big Connor Barwin.
Connor Barwin's your guy.
Connor's my guy. Haruki Nakamura's my guy.
Yeah.
Swimmer Josh Schneider.
Oh, yeah.
He's who now works in the department, actually, but national champion. I mean, that was one of the
– near Olympian.
That was one of the greater moments I had, you know, working here, is just being up in Columbus when he
– yeah.
As the underdog wins the national championship in the 50-free. You know, Tony Campana.
Yeah.
He was just released by the Cubs, I guess, or designated
DFA'd,
first sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll land somewhere. Too much speed.
You know who – I mean, you want to talk about some of my favorite former Bearcats? Chuck Mayshock.
Oh, of course.
Jim Kelly. Clarence Sanders. Clarence the Bulldog Sanders. He wasn't here during my tenure, but, man, Clarence played with Jim Kelly. And Clarence takes care of me when I come to New York City. You know, so he that's my guy. Clarence Sanders, one of my favorite former Bearcats.
I say, you know what, Darnell Burton on top of my list. I know
Don Goodman.
Don Goodman.
Don Goodman's one of my favorite former Bearcats, not going to lie.
You know,
love me some Don Goodman.
Jason Maxseal, one of my favorite former Bearcats, actually was up in Detroit recently, caught a Pistons game. Jason Maxseal is still doing it the same way he did it when he was here. To watch, there was nothing like watching Jason Maxseal just angrily dunk on somebody's face. I mean, it was the signature of those teams with him and Eric Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
He's still doing it up there. I was shocked to see
Val
he's
King,
for them.
Former women's basketball standout. Val King. Yeah. She's on my list of former.
You're a big Val King fan.
Yeah. And she's assistant coach over Wright State now.
Oh, okay.
So she's still in the game.
How about that?
I got a lot of favorite former Bearcats. Bill Schneer.
Oh.
No, Bill Schneer's not a former Bearcat. Monty Hopkins is. Bill Schneer, he didn't go to Cincinnati, but he's been here 33 years, so basically.
Well, I will say, for the smoothest segue ever, one of my favorite coaches is Brian Cleary.
Cleary's great.
And
we did a preview with him today on GoBearcats.com.
Make sure you check it out there. I wrote something earlier this week about UC, who's going to be playing down at Great American Ballpark after a Reds game on Saturday, April 6th is the date for that. The Reds play at 1, I believe 1:15, a game against the Nationals, and then about a half hour afterwards, UC and Louisville will take the field for
Correct.
The Reds Collegiate Invitational. First ever college game played at Great American Ballpark. And I was down at the event, which was just it was the kickoff for baseball season, but they made the announcement.
They don't kick off in baseball, Paul.
They were just – it was the beginning of
There's
the,
no tip-off. There's no kickoff. There's no draw control.
Are you done?
First pitch. Opening pitch.
It was the name of the event.
Yes.
Which kicked off baseball season.
Hmm, okay.
That's what I was saying.
Fine.
On a technicality, I'll take it.
Okay.
But I thought it was cool to hear them talking about this event. And it's one of those ideas that when you hear it, you say, how has this not been done before? It's just one of the easiest ways it's such a win-win for just about everybody, for the Reds, which love to give back to the city,
right.
For UC, which can attach themselves with the Reds and both sides that love anybody that loves baseball. You know, it's great, and really for the Reds, even with Louisville coming to town, that's Reds country down there too, and a great rivalry game. It's great for the kids. I mean, to be a student athlete, your dream is playing the big leagues. Let's be real. As the commercials tell you, only a certain percentage will go on to play professional
Very
sports.
Very small percentage.
Very small percentage. Most of these guys will not.
They're going to go professional in something else.
Yes, they will. And so they will end up playing a game like this at Great American Ballpark. And it's a pretty special day. I was talking with Justin Glass about it, and I asked him if he ever played in a professional ballpark before. He's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He said, I did play at Wrigley Field when I was a junior and a senior in high school in one of these fall baseball things they do over there. First thing he did, went to the Ivy, stole some Ivy and put it in his pocket. Got to do it. It's just a special feeling, no matter where it is. No Ivy at Great American, but I imagine there might be some turf that's
MIA.
Yes.
I think it'd be awesome. I think it's great for, you know, like you said, the city, the programs, everybody involved. It's going to be – it has the shaping to be pretty spectacular April 6th day with an open practice over here on campus for football at 10 a.m., a kids clinic after that. You get down to the ball game. You can take in the Reds and the Nationals. You can take in the Bearcats, the Cardinals. And then ideally, you wander out of the collegiate game to one of the local watering holes now in the vicinity of Great American Ballpark. And there's plenty to choose from. They have the big flat screens. And you wander in there and have them throw on the Final Four. And from Atlanta – McCrone and the Bearcats are taking the court. I mean, it could be a pretty epic April 6th.
That epic would be an understatement if that was
If that's
the case,
I will not be at the baseball game or the spring practice.
No.
I'm just going to go ahead and
happily
put it out there right now. I'm going to miss those.
Yeah, absolutely. So April 6th, make sure you look in that. You can, if you get a ticket to the Reds game, you are free to hang
around.
The UC
I think
game.
The tickets are on sale now. So
yes, you can check. Or if you just want to go to the UC game, you, of course, can just go and just pick one of those. But I don't know why you would. Might as well just go to the Reds game while you're down there and make it a day.
Now the real question is, I mean, you have auxiliary duties with the Reds.
Yeah.
Game day duties with the Reds.
Yeah.
Will those carry over into the Bearcats game?
You know, that's a good question. I'm curious if this will be a full Reds scoreboard production down there. I hope so. I mean, we could really, really do really it up big time.
Really have some fun
there. Absolutely. If not, I certainly would still be down there to take in that tilt.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that I would that would be fantastic. I think that would be another cool part of the experience. Is
oh, absolutely.
You get the full scoreboard production, but we shall see. Those are details to be worked out at a later date by people on a much higher pay grade than me.
Or me.
Yes. Or with us combined, probably. Mm-hmm,
probably.
But you mentioned football. I wanted to quickly touch on because signing day happened. You mentioned the spring practice dates are announced. We talked about it's not going to be a spring game per se. It's just going to be an open practice for everybody to come down with the youth clinic afterwards, a good sort of family experience. You know, take your kids to work with the guys after you get to watch them practice and see Coach Tuberville and all those guys and everything that they're doing. That should be cool. Signing day. Fax cam was in full effect.
It was.
I brought this up with Video Shane, and I'm sad that this did not quite come to fruition. We should have been playing episodes of the Inside the Bearcast podcast.
I know.
On there. I love Bruce.
I know.
And Bruce was rocking it. And it was pretty much better than Bruce Springsteen.
We were taking recruits. We were taking recruits. We were taking requests as the recruits came in. We were taking requests as well. And I fired up what people were asking for.
I got tweeted at by the Pandora people because I said you don't need Pandora if you can just and Pandora got mad at me and said, well, Thunder Road is playing on Bruce Springsteen radio right now, basically trying to get
you to flip over.
Yeah, well, don't take it personal, Pandora. You're doing fine.
Yeah,
okay?
They're all right.
I don't know why they had to try and get into my business. That's like the time you can pretty much do this on Twitter. If you complain really about any national chain at all, they will find you and will tweet back at you. And a lot of times they'll just give you some free stuff. So even if you didn't have a bad experience at any local place, you can really just say, oh, the service was awful here.
Something was bad.
And here comes blah, 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 .com tweeting back at you saying, how can we help you?
You know, I'll be honest. We've veered away from any signing day conversation.
That's fine.
But I've used it for – travel issues before with airlines, direct message. When you're in line at airport and you're 30 deep because everybody's flight just got canceled, I get on to Twitter and send a direct message to the airline, and I've had flight issues resolved within 5 minutes and moved up two people in line and go sit down, and I'm on a new flight. 28 suckers in front of me still waiting in line.
Without the Twitters. That's
power of Twitter.
It is.
I mean,
unfortunately, it is sad and too powerful.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we even talk about this. We probably should find something
else to do.
Twitter
was in full effect on signing day, though.
It was.
Twitter.
It's amazing everything that happens on there. I mean, it's just over. It's completely overwhelming.
It is everything.
You got to back
away.
You can't go away from it.
But you can't.
You can. You can't.
I can't.
You unfortunately have to stay with it.
I'll be honest, though. When I go on vacation, which is few and far between, but I can almost see the light now with my first week off at the end of May.
It'll happen.
You're right. It's 3 months away, and I cannot wait. And I will go to an undisclosed location in another country, and nobody will know where to find me, and my phone will be off.
In a bunker somewhere.
And I will not check Twitter the whole time I'm there. I'll shut it all down.
You got to go off the grid vacation.
There will be
the only
no
way
email.
To do it. No, off the grid.
There would be – my family knows where to find me in a case of an emergency. Nobody around here knows where to find my family in the case of an emergency. Video Shane will have it held down for a week while I'm gone. I'm going to be gone. Don't tweet at me. Don't email me. We're shutting it down. I'm going to have my sunscreen on. I'll see you in a week. But that's not for like months, so whatever.
plenty of time until that happens. We don't want to see you go on vacation because
– no, we got to have the podcast.
Yeah.
We can do a pre-vacation podcast. You just schedule.
We just speculate on things
get
that are
with
happening.
My people and schedule it before around vacation. And don't worry, people. We'll still have our
other
week podcast.
And if you think we ramble now, wait till you see it in the summer.
June. Holy smokes.
We will be – I mean, we might have to rename it. Just Inside Our Lives podcast because I don't –
because our lives are entertaining now. We can talk about eating.
I think some people are probably debating that right now, how entertaining our lives are.
If these people are still here 33 minutes in, they want to know about our lives.
They
Paul.
Do. Yeah, they're not here to get our analysis.
You know what we could do? Going back to one of my original thoughts of having a barbecue so we can spend more time together over the summer.
Yeah.
Since that's when our lives kind of diverge.
Barbecue podcast?
sit on my back porch, fire up the grill, have cold beverages, fire up the equipment, and have the barbecue podcast.
You know, you may be into those types of things, but I don't like.
You're not in. You don't like food and pie. You don't like mixing.
I'll tell you. No. I like.
You don't
that.
Like cold drinks.
I'll be drinking my Orange Crush.
Diet or regular?
Oh, regular. Regular. No, I'm not. I'm no diet. Guy.
Diet here in office.
No diet. I'll be drinking my Orange Crush. We can have some barbecue. We can comment on it. I mean, last week I had Rob Dowster on from NBC Sports,
right.
Who originally was the Montgomery Inn podcast.
Right.
They were on the Balling is a Habit tour here. I talked to him about that. Every time I talked to him, we discussed how great it was doing the podcast there. So I'm all for it. A summer barbecue. I mean, we can get multiple staff members there.
Could.
Just round table style.
Tommy Tuberville might come.
Where there's barbecue.
Yeah, but then he may
here
not
we
like
go
it.
Again. Yeah, I know, exactly. He probably won't like mine. I'm not a barbecue aficionado.
I wish I
by
was.
Any means.
I kind of wish I was. I need a smoker.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to have a – if you don't have a smoker, you better not be inviting Tommy T over.
Well, yeah.
Because he will look down. He will walk out before he even
with,
gets
like,
to the
backyard. With, like, the finest hickory you can find in Cincinnati.
Don't expect him to bring his own. Bring his
no,
own stuff.
I he's mean, coming to eat.
He's coming. By the way,
you have 5 minutes. So,
by the way,
not even you're running out of time.
We're getting, and I believe some people that are actually listening to the podcast probably said you have 5 minutes about 10 minutes ago before they turned it off. Tommy T signing day.
Yes.
Great. Always great to talk to him.
Oh yeah.
How you know? Tell me a little bit about sort of your talking to him
well,
and what you thought.
You know,
to him.
I spent a lot of the day with him. You know, from about 7 a.m. until about 9 o'clock at night when.
Yeah.
When the event over the Kingsgate was over, and you know, as the facts rolled in, it was interesting because we talked about the list kind of, you know, away from the cameras and stuff, because you're looking at it, you want to know what highlights to put up, so on and so forth, and they had about 4 or 5 guys who they thought were on the fence coming in, and the problem is they had to put this class together in 3 weeks, and he said, honestly, guys, 2, maybe 3 are going to fall our way, 2, maybe 3 are going to fall the other way, and if more fall the other way than our way, you know, you can't do much but shrug your shoulders and say, well, you know, we did our best in 3 weeks. We did what we could. We did a year or two of recruiting in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But you know what? They all fell Cincinnati's way.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, he said he'd never seen anything like it, where they all fell to Cincinnati. And so they were really happy. You know, considering the time period they had, they were really happy with the class. They felt like they did a really good job with the short time period they had. They addressed some of their very big needs. They covered tight end. They got some speed. They got some size. And I think the staff and Tommy Tuberville should be applauded for putting it together as quickly as they did.
They were applauded, Scout.com, naming Robert Purney recruiter of the year for all the work they did in that quick time
right.
period and locking down a lot of guys. A great effort by those guys. We'll wrap it up because we're running out of time. But
yeah.
Tommy, it's always great.
Always great.
Yeah, remember everybody.
Always great everybody to tune in, too. Thank you so much.
Georgetown, 9 o'clock Friday night, ESPN, Fifth Third Arena. It should be one of those special atmospheres on a great night. And, you know, the Harlem Shake is coming your way.
It's coming. Stay tuned.
It's coming your way.
I hope by the next time we do this, we have one on the web. That's my goal.
We better.
And don't call me tomorrow for a podcast because I want to have one by tomorrow.
I don't think anybody would. I don't know what else we would possibly talk about. We've already.
We could go a lot longer, brother.
You're right. We're only restricted by our SD card.
We got to leave something out there for them to want for the next time.
For all of you that now want more, be happy about it. Thanks for everybody for listening to the Inside the Bearcats podcast.